are ushering. Amen. They've been ushering me all morning to be on time. They are rushering. Aren't you glad to be in a church where you like the person sitting next to you? I've been in some churches where I wasn't too sure about some people. I'm glad we're a family here. Cora and me used to go to the same church. Praise the Lord. Just stand with us as we go into worship. Let's just prepare our hearts and our minds and just be thrown onto the Lord. We're so desperate for Him. We're so needing His presence to come. And I find as the days are literally running by us. I mean, we're here at Christmas already, and it'll be 2025 in just a few weeks. And it's just unbelievable to think about how fast time has gone. But one thing I've really felt as we go day to day is my need for Jesus more and more. Just the weight of reality, the stresses of life. Time's not just going by faster. I mean, life is getting harder. Times are getting darker. And I find myself really longing from Sunday to Wednesday and Wednesday to Sunday just to be in the presence of the Lord. And so as we're here this morning, as we go into worship, don't be ashamed to just close your eyes and just lift your hands to the Lord and worship Him. Throwing yourself upon Him this morning and just saying, you know, I surrender. I give this to you, Lord. I just need to be filled. I'm empty. I'm weak. I'm tired. And I just, you know, I think about all the time how the Word of God says that He is a good Father. And I just think about last night how many times I feel just like Selah feels. Just a baby. I don't feel good. Hold me. Man, I just feel like that some days, and I'm a big guy, you know, but I feel like that inside, and I just know that the arms of the Lord are big and strong and mighty, and we can run and just fall into His arms, be held by Him, and worship is a wonderful time to experience that with Him. So I just encourage us as we go into worship to have that mentality with the Lord and throw yourself upon Him. Amen.
Splendor of the King. Jesus. When I in awesome wonder shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart, then I shall.
To exalt the King, amen. Time to be alive in this life. And I'm grateful to share this time and this season with you. I can't wait for heaven, amen. We were sitting in my living room yesterday with the kids, and we were just talking about the glory of Christ. We were talking about the amazement that we're all going to be in when we get to heaven. And I said, I would be okay with the rapture right now. I know there are many that need to come to the Lord. I want to wait for them, amen. As Paul said, to live is Christ. I'm here because of you, but if I had the choice, I would rather be with the King, amen. And I feel the same way. I'm glad to be here for the sake of the gospel. But if I was selfish, and I am, I would rather be in heaven. Amen. I'd rather be with the Lord. And Johnny piped up and he said, what about Christmas? He said, what about Christmas? I said, if you think Christmas is good here, wait till we get over there. Amen. You better believe they're going to celebrate it much better there than we ever could here. So he changed his mind. I think he's ready for the blessings and the gifts over yonder. Amen. And so, again, I just want to relay my absolute joy of being able to pastor here at this church with you, to come in and to feel like I'm at home. This is not a job for me. I don't put in the hours and stress about doing all of the works of a pastor. I don't have that mentality. I literally get to visit the members of my family. I get to visit in my community. I get to participate in every level of that with you, especially on Sundays and Wednesdays. And it is such a joy to do that. This is how ministry should be. And I'm so grateful that you have provided the atmosphere for that. And I could speak for that for Pastor Pedro and for Cora, I believe, as we serve in ministry, serve you, and as for my family as well. It is such a joy. It is the job of my dreams to be able to be with my children as often as I am, and to be able to be a father to them in ways that for past years I've not been able to be for the sake of working and doing different things bivocationally. So it was a full-time job and full-time ministry, which tore me in so many ways. And I'm just very blessed to be a full-time pastor today. And when my focus is not studying and serving the Lord and serving this congregation, it's devoted to my wonderful family. And I'm so grateful for that opportunity. This church has given us that. And I am eternally grateful for that. Who knows the results of what that will bring? And I was just thinking about what Cora had shared. We can never express. I don't think there's going to be enough earthly words to express all that we have experienced in Christ. But thank God we don't have to express it. And thank God we get to experience it. Amen? Because we're going to experience the fullness of His glory. And it's going to be a wonderful... We'll be in such awe that we'll sing out a new song, whether we can sing or we can't. We'll be filled... The Spirit of God, when we enter into His glory, is going to come upon us. And it is going to bring out a song, an exclamation to the Lord from our own hearts. Amen? The Spirit's going to use the joy of our own hearts to write a song to glorify the King. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? To know that you don't have to be a singer-songwriter. You just got to be saved, and we're going to be able to enjoy worship together for eternity. I'm excited about that. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, we're going to go through verses 15. I told you last Sunday that we were going to do a part one and part two. I thought I had another Sunday, so I was prepared to do a part three, but we'll save that for after Christmas. Amen. And but we're going to do the reason for the season, part two. If you missed the first one, you can go onto our website. It's on there. You can download it and listen to it if you even want to hear my voice that much. So maybe Sundays are enough for you. You don't want to hear it any more than on Sunday. But if you do have a desire to hear the word, it's on there. And but Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, it says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Will you pray with me? Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for our time together. And I just submit this word to you, Lord God. I believe it's from your heart, and I know it's from your word. And I just pray, Lord God, that it becomes alive to us today. Father, as we just dive in to the truth that you died for, Lord God, you died for and rose again, that we might know this truth, that we might accept this truth, that we might believe on this truth. And as we did those things, Lord God, we would come alive in you, Jesus. We would come out of death, of sin and tragedy, Lord God, into the everlasting life of hope and joy and love that you've prepared for us. So we're grateful this morning, Lord God, for what you've done. And we just are so grateful for your word. And I pray every heart is blessed. I pray that every life is encouraged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Last week, we talked about the promise of Jesus and where the promise came from and why the promise was spoken. And now I want to talk to you this morning about why Jesus came. What was his purpose? What was his goal? What was the good news? What was God offering as a peace offering and goodwill towards men? And I want us to know this morning that God didn't have to do what he did. He didn't have to choose to leave heaven and come for us. Isn't that a sobering reality? When I think about Genesis and I think about Adam and Eve and I think about the disobedience that they fell into concerning that reality, God really could have wiped the earth of humanity and started all over again. But what stopped him? His great love towards us. Isn't that amazing? That the miracle that saved humanity was mercy. It was grace. It was love. Despite all of our failure, despite the reality of all of our futures that God had already foreseen, He loved us. And he said, instead of destroying humankind, I'm going to set in motion a plan to save it. And that's what we talked about last week. We talked about from generation to generation, the promise and the encouragement of God that a Savior would come all the way down to the ears of Mary. And then to know that Jesus being born was the evidence of the promises of God, that born to us, born to the world, was a Savior. But not just us alone, amen? But every human, everyone who believed on Jesus, that they might be saved. It's true of God that he had covenants with men from the beginning. He chose men to be the vessel that was created in his image to carry out the management of the earth. But how many of you know there were other covenants that God made? He made covenants, obviously, with Adam. He made covenant with Abraham. He made covenant with Moses. He made covenant numerous times throughout history. And all the while, those covenants were pushing humanity into a place to understand who he was, to understand his nature, to bring humanity into a place where humanity desired God for who he was and not just what he could do for them. Do you realize that? That God did not just stop his hand of judgment on Adam and Eve, but he has waited eons of time through humanity, through people. He's given grace through years and decades and centuries just to get to these moments right here to give us one more chance, one more opportunity, offering this option and this option, trying to convince us of his heart towards us, his love towards us. And you know, we failed at every turn. You know, we're just good at failing. Anybody a failure in here? Man, you can ask anybody in my life, I'm a failure. I mess up. You especially ask my kids. We were watching old videos last night on the phone, and I don't know if y'all do this at your home, but we scare our children on purpose. We jump scare them, which is just jumping out of nowhere and, you know, and scaring them. And we were watching old videos. Johnny, just a bitty old feller. He's probably 5, 6 years old. And I had jumped out and I had scared Rayleigh, which unbeknownst to me had a bowl of food in her hand. And she jumped and threw the food out. And Johnny came to her defense. And the whole video is of Johnny going, you're not a good daddy. You're a bad daddy. This is the whole video. I'm mad at you doing that to Rayleigh. And I just failed in that moment as a father to my children, you know. How dare I scare them, you know? And but we're failures. We're failures in every way. We are just unable to do it. We thought in the garden that if we could just participate with God in the eating of the fruit and the knowledge of good and evil, then we can be like God and we can know the difference of right and wrong. But in our own carnal ability, our own natural ability, we were unable to know. So then we turned bad into good. Just like what the word says, it says that we don't know our left hand from our right. And we're going to call evil good and good evil because our own understanding and its own ability can't know what God knows because we're not divine. We're not made to know what's right and wrong. We're made to be subservient to God, to trust in him, to know that he knows best for us, that he's sovereign and that he's good. He created us for relationship with him. And so God, through the ages, began to make covenants with man, all the while pushing us into a direction where it would be less demand on us and more on him. Amen? And we see that through the Old Testament, God funneling humanity into this direction of understanding the desire of his own heart for his people. And it says this about God, who did not have to come in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, servant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth, of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It simply is saying this, that God made himself of no reputation, that he might make himself like one of us. He might be born into this life, that he might take the place of all of us for our sins. Do you know why we celebrate this time and this season? It's because the perfect sacrificial lamb was born. He came to die. That's it. Men, mankind, in its best ability, could not achieve righteousness. It could not achieve goodness. All it's good for is fallibility. Failure, trouble, short days, and lots of trouble. That's what man is born into. Born into sin, shaped in iniquity. And we've tried every way to be right with God, but we've failed miserably in our pursuit. And God, who was rich in mercy, made himself nothing that we might be something. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful reality for us this morning as we're going into the Christmas season to realize that what Jesus did coming into the earth was to die that we might live? These are the things of Jesus' mouth that he testified of himself. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Luke chapter 5, verse 31 through 32 says, "Jesus answered and said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Matthew 5:17 says, "Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Luke chapter 19, verse 9 through 10, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" Mark 10, verse 45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Matthew 11, 27 through 30 says, "All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God realized that man had bore himself into a dark, deep hole in which he could not dig himself out of, and decided, instead of judgment, I long for mercy, and made himself of no reputation, being born into a dirty, rotten earth that man created, a cursed place, and decided that he and he alone be the light in the darkness, that whoever recognized him, because he says, I came into this world and no one recognized me. All of what was prophesied, all of what was written to express the reality of God through Christ the Messiah was unrecognized by those that should have recognized, but there were a handful, as Jesus began to walk and begin to encourage people who looked upon him, someone who was not beautiful. You know, the Bible says that he was not goodly to look upon. He was like a dry root out of ground. You know what that means? He wasn't beautiful. He was kind of an ugly kind of person. It wasn't who people thought he would be. But God was saying, you focus this mindset on me that I'm something that I'm not. And then when he stood in front of them, they rejected him. You remember what it says? It says that the chief cornerstone that was given was rejected by his own people. It was cast to the side. But those who saw him for what he was going to begin to build a house with them. He was going to begin to build a people, not a Jewish people, not an Adamic people, not a Mosaic people, but a Christ-like people, a Christ-made people. A covenant was going to be made that all those that looked upon him because of him coming in the way that he did would be transformed out of the image of those things that we were born into, and then being born into the image of Christ. That's what it means to be born again, to recognize him, to see him. Could you imagine today? I made this statement the other day. I think it was in prayer or Bible study. Could you imagine today if we had never heard about Jesus? We had never known anything about the New Testament. We never knew anything about the Old Testament. All we knew was is we were just gathering here for whatever we were gathering here for. We know nothing about Jesus. Try to imagine this. It's hard when you're in church for Jesus to imagine that. But imagine you don't. And then imagine some stranger walks in and says, stop what you're doing, leave everything that you know, and come with me. What would we say? You're nuts. You all lock your cars because of people like that. No, I'm not going anywhere with you. But people recognized something in this man. It wasn't beauty. He had no outward appearance of glory. It was something different, something divine, something overwhelming, something supernatural. And it encouraged people to leave families, to leave their homes, to leave properties, to leave all that they had in their life to follow him. They were ready to forsake everything for him. What did they see in him that made them do this? They witnessed God. They witnessed who he truly was. And whatever they lost was worth losing in order to obtain him. Folks, this had never been done in history before. This had never been an option for humankind ever before. We were sinners. We were separated from God. He was righteous and holy, and we were not. And we were not allowed to see God. We were not allowed to witness his goodness. We were separate from him. But now all of a sudden, something is here. Someone has come. His name is Emmanuel. He is God with us now. He is not God over yonder. He is here. And I've witnessed him with my eyes. I've experienced him with my hands and my heart and my life. It's changed me. It's turned me from desiring to even want to be here in this world. It's made me believe that I'm an alien here. I'm a pilgrim in this life. That this really isn't what I was born for. What I was really born for was to be with him. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes to be there with him. That's the kind of character that was born into the earth. That's the kind of freedom that came with Christ. That all the old life could be left behind. And now I can have a new one. Isn't that beautiful? Anybody wish they can go back and change some things in their life? Man, I do. I've said some not smart things in my life that I wish I could go back and retract. I've done some things in my life that I wish I could change. Anybody ever look in the mirror and say, I wish you'd be different? You know why you've said that? And you know why you've always been downcast when you've said it? Because before Christ, you didn't have a choice. but to be who you were. You didn't have an option. You were a slave to sin. You had no opportunity to free yourself of the destitute that you lived in. But then came Jesus. And he said, that which has always had you bound, I'm going to lift off of you. That which you've always hated about yourself, it's going to die. It's going to die. And you're going to come into a new life with me. And instead of looking like what you've always looked like and what humankind has always looked like, I'm now going to offer you an opportunity to look like me. What you've always meant to look like. You were created in the image of God. You were desired to be in a relationship with God. But mankind muddled it up just a little bit. And instead of condemning the world, God sent his son. He said, I've not come into the world to condemn the world. The world's condemned already. It's its nature. But I've come into the world to free it. I've come into the world that in me and through me, where you couldn't know the Father, now you can. And anyone that believes on me will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's never been done. It's never been expressed. It's never been experienced until Christ came, born of a virgin, orchestrated by God, looking down the line for us, knowing that we would be eternally separated from him, lest someone came. And instead of sending a man who could make a mess, he came himself. Aren't you glad that God didn't entrust it to one of us? He loved us enough and knew us enough that we weren't able to bear the responsibility of being good. That's why the law didn't work. He gave us some rules and regulations. Try this, and you'll be righteous. You know what we did? Failed. Miserably. You could do 99% of the laws and be just and right, but if you failed on one, all of the law was broken. Isn't that crazy? None are righteous. No, not one. We were born and doomed to death, separation from God. But God sent his son that not be our end. What hope there is in Jesus. Folks, I know this isn't like last week where we were jazzed up, you know? But folks, this is the simple reality that none of us deserve heaven. None of us do. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. The foundations in which humanity is birthed out of is failure. God created us in his image. He let us have free will. And you know what we did with that free will? We ran from God. We hid from him. We opposed him. Folks, what's your nature been since you've been born? I think I told you last week, we were walking out of Walmart. I have Selah on my shoulders. And all of a sudden, she sticks some chapstick in my face. You want some lips, Daddy? And I looked at Carly and I said, is this your chapstick? And she said, no, that's not my chapstick. Unbeknownst to us, my 2-year-old is a shoplifter. You know what the law says about that? You're a thief. You're a robber. She's 2 years old. She don't even know what those words mean. But she's separated from God because that's her nature. It's all of our natures. You lie because you're a liar. We were born that way. You know, I've never taught my children to lie because I would like to think that I'm a good parent. I've never taught them to lie, but they're good at it. They're better than I am at it. They're really good. And maybe it's my love for them that sways me more than it should. But they lie to me often, and I'm just going, I believe them. They're good. I'll get in the room, and Carly will go, you know they lied to you. And I'll go, what? They were so convincing. They had proof of their lie. It's unbelievable. I said, go in there and spank them. You caught them. You got to deal out the judgment. It's their nature. It's our nature. You want to know why depression is so rampant in 2024? It's because it's our nature. We're hopeless creatures. You want to know why anxiety is so fierce? Because we're a people that deserve darkness and fear. We live in it. We are consumed by it. That's what the earth was doomed to when mankind fell. We were doomed to that. And none of us were able to claw our way out of it. And God looked on us in our helplessness and said, I want to provide for you a better way. A better way than you working hard to get yourself out. Because generation after generation tried to be good, and guess what they found themselves to be? Bad. I remember being a young man. I wasn't even a young man, I was a boy. I remember coming to church. I remember hearing the gospel message. I remember hearing the truth that was preached from a pulpit. And I remember leaving church many, many times and going home and going, this time I'll be better. This time I'll try really hard not to have those thoughts, not to fall into those temptations. Anybody ever experienced that? I'm going to do my best this week to be different. And then it's like we barely get out of the door. And there's that thought. We get home and eat our lunch. There's that sin. We drive to work the next day. Someone cuts us off. Hello, darkness, my old friend. Some of y'all know that song a little too well, don't you? You know why? Because it's alive and well in us. And nothing could stop it. Nothing could stop it in me. And I remember being a young boy and my heart being broken because I genuinely was convicted of the goodness of God. I genuinely was moved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I had no idea how to give it over to Him, my life, and then receive His life. I didn't even understand truly what had happened. I didn't realize that all I had to do was lay myself upon Him and trust Him and choose Him. When trouble and failure came into my life, you know the scripture where it says that we, whenever we are overwhelmed, that God will give us a way of escape. Do not be worried about temptation. I can't quote it right now off the top of my head, but you know what I'm talking about. What is the scripture? It's all right. Summarized. But God will give you a way of escape. You know what that literally means? A way has been provided for you of escape. You know what I found that's hilarious about Floridians that I have not found about anywhere else in the United States? And you're going to laugh because this is you. Amen? But what I've found is me and my wife, we drive a lot together. And oftentimes we'll be driving down 95. In my mind will be anywhere but where it needs to be going. And my wife is watching the exit that we're supposed to be getting off on approaching quickly. But instead of telling me your exit's coming up, she waits till I pass it and goes, where are you going? This is a trait only Floridians have. No one else treats people the way that we treat people when it comes to directions like that. Jesus offers an exit for us off of the highway of struggle, off the highway of works, off the highway of depression, off the highway of anxiety. And I can tell you, I've missed a lot of exits in my life. But the beauty of Christ's coming is before I used to have to bring a dove or a pigeon or a lamb every time. I'd have to bring something to God in order to offer me just a momentary lapse of escape. But Jesus came and He says, you may have missed this one, but there's one coming up that's going to get you right back on track. That's going to free you of this. I've prepared another way. Another way. He prepared Himself. When no one else could, He prepared himself. Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received that reconciliation. Folks, when it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, it doesn't mean when I first started a little sin that Christ died for us, or mediocre sin at the pinnacle of my evil heart, at the height of all of my trouble. If you could culminate all the sin that I could ever sin for the rest of my life, at the top of it, that's where Christ died for me, so that all of it would be covered, that my life that's now in him could be lived out in freedom rather than bondage. This is what God did for us in this season. This is the reason that he came. It wasn't so that we can put gifts under a tree and go, oh, this is God's precious gift to us. Let's share it with one another. That's precious. That's good. But that's not the reason that he came. He didn't come because shepherds would hear from an angel and we would sing songs about it, though those things are good. He came because we could not save ourselves. He came because we were lost. In every way that God had tried to help us in the past, we had failed miserably because we're not good. The reason is because he sent himself, because nothing else could be done to save us. No one else could have came but him. Hebrews chapter 8, it says, now this is the main point of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. Not only do we have a high priest that is at the right hand of the Father, but he's a high priest that brought a gift and an offering. He brought himself. For if he were on the earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy and the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator for a better covenant, which was established on better promises. And what he's expressing here is that God gave an example to Moses of genuinely his desire for relationship with mankind. But when he came down from the mountain, men put walls up. Men put sheets up, thinking that I have to come into this temple in order to know God. But that wasn't the expression that God was trying to express. He wanted us to know that we were the temple, that we didn't have to go and enter into some place, that God was going to come and enter into us. He said, so in this old covenant, this is the trouble with it. But verse 7 says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Meaning if that covenant was perfect and offered us what we needed, it would still be in effect. But guess what? It's no longer in effect. Because finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none of his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." In that, he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Do you know what that means? That we're no longer under the law? We don't have to answer to it anymore. Do you know why? Because all that the law required, Jesus satisfied. That anyone that is in Christ Jesus is now a new creature. There is no longer a Jew or a Gentile or a slave or a free man. There is no longer man or woman. We are one in Christ Jesus. There is no longer need for the blood sacrifice of sin. Do you know why? Because it was satisfied with the Lamb of God, his only Son. He came for us as a gift and gave himself for us that freedom might be found for the first time in the earth. Not that we weren't privy to know God, but even when we were given the opportunity to know God, we chose not to. It's no longer going to be written on stones and tablets for us to follow, that God said, "I'll write it in your heart." What privilege we have as Christians today. Folks, there's no rule. There's no regulation that we have to follow. Just come to him. You remember what I read in the very beginning of service in Luke chapter 2? I know it's 12:06, but let me just read this. Amen? Luke chapter 2, verse 15. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Do you know what's imperative that we do when we hear the good news that God has sent his Son? Get up and let's go see this thing that he's done. Don't stay in your sin. Don't stay in your destitute life. When the shepherds heard the good news that the angel brought, they said, "We must get up out of this death. We must get up out of this darkness, this emptiness, this shame, this trouble, this hardship that we're in. Let's get up out of this and let's go see if it's true. Let's go see if he really is what he says that he is. Let's go see if he really is the redeemer of the world. Can I be redeemed? Can I be free? Can I be made alive? Can I truly be different?" Yes, you can. But I can tell you, no one can go for you. You have to come. You have to come and see. As the psalmist said, "Come, taste, and see that the Lord is good." It's not just some story that we read this time of year. This is every day that Christ has bought for us. It's not freedom certain times of year. It's freedom forever. We're going to take off the mortal and take on immortality one day. We're going to be loosed of the bonds of this flesh. But until that day, I still get to walk in freedom from sin, from shame, from guilt. I was talking to a young man the other day. He said, "I don't understand why my life is falling apart. I've lost my kids. I've lost the women that I loved. I'm just a mess. I just keep messing this up. Why? Why am I messing up? Why am I losing all of this stuff?" And then I look at you and I see your wife and I see your children and your life looks glorious.
Why doesn't your wife leave you? Why don't your children despise you? You know what my answer was? Before Jesus, they did. Because I was just like you. I couldn't be good. I couldn't figure it out. I always made the same mistakes over and over again. I always chose sin over the right thing, and I made a mess of it all. But let me tell you something, brother. When I couldn't save myself and I heard that Jesus could, I ran to him because I was tired of losing. I was tired of darkness. I was tired of death. And it was almost like an angel of the Lord broke open the sky and said, peace and goodwill unto you. A promise is made to you that there's freedom from the damnation of humanity, of the struggles of the flesh, of life. You can be free from it. And I said, is this, could it be real? You know what was encouraged of me? Run to him. Run to him and see that it's true. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. You'll find a new life there. And folks, when I got there and I found that the new life could be mine, I grabbed a hold of it and ran for my life. And to the glory of God, I have a family that loves me when I don't deserve it. I've got children who care and I don't deserve them. I've got people in my life that trust me. I don't deserve trust. This is not something that I've won in my own ability. It's only because of the promise. It's only because of the gift of God. It's only because of what I'm sharing with you. Generation to generation, it's been passed down to me. Sinner, failure, destitute, carnal, fleshly, liar, addict. It's been passed down to me from generation to generation, but hope stepped in the image of Christ. And he's alive. He's alive. He was born to die, and what he bore to die with was my sin and my shame, and he took it for me, just like he took it for you, than all those that believe on him. But he did not stay there in the grave. He was born to die that our sin might be wrapped in him, but he was raised to life that we might know the liberties of heaven and hope and God the way that he created us to. The words of Jesus, I've come with the gospel of good news. All those are weary and heavy laden. I've come to give you rest. Come to me. I've come to your house that you might know salvation. I've come to bring sight to the blind. I've come to bring health to the sick. I've come for hope. Hope in a world that has not tasted it for a long time. He's here. He's here. And you know why he's here? He's here for us. We were born to know God, and we're here, and he's here. We don't got to run far to find him. He's come to find us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's come to find us. You remember the vision of Jacob where he fell down and fell asleep on the rock, and he saw the vision. He saw a ladder going into heaven, angels ascending and descending. You remember that? You know what he was foreseeing? He was foreseeing the reality that I no longer have to work and climb to the top to know God. That God is sending hope down to me because I couldn't make it there. He's come. Hope has come. Oh, he's the reason for the season, folks. He's the reason for our hearts to be joyful. He's the reason that we can know peace in this life when there is no peace to be found anywhere else. I just told that brother who said, my life has fallen apart. I said, run, brother. I said, if you need somebody to run with you, I'll come and grab your hand. I'll run with you to him. Look at my life. You want what I have? I would have none of it had it not been for him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your life today is a testimony of that. How do you have what you have in light of the world today? Let me tell you a story about the greatest gift that was ever given. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.
I want to open up these altars. There's people here. I see God dealing with you. You can throw it all away. All that life that you wish you could go back and change. Guess what? It can be wiped away. That person can be dead in its sin, and you can be alive in Christ. Folks, maybe you're here today and you're going, man, I'm just trying to get off this highway of struggle, of stress, of anxiety, of depression. He's offered a way. There's a way of escape. So I open these altars. I ask you to come. Can we stand all over the house? You're here this morning and you're saying, I'm tired of life the way I'm living it. I need what you're preaching this morning. I encourage you to come like the shepherds did. Come and see that what I'm saying to you are not just words. This is truth. You're not alone in your suffering. We were all born into it. You know what I love about the gospel? About the New Testament of Jesus going around and finding the people that would eventually be his apostles and disciples is they were nobodies. They were the worst. They were the outcasts. The Pharisees said, all you do is eat with publicans and tax collectors and sinners. And that's where that, he said, I have not come for the healthy. I've come for the sick. He's here for you this morning. He's here for you. And this church is here for you to love you, to encourage you. Can we just pray together? If that's you this morning, I just want you to open your heart and say, God, come. You don't have to come to this altar to give your life to Jesus. You literally can come to Jesus right where you are and say, God, come. Deal with my heart. You see me in my trouble. Heal me, God. Your word said that if we believe on you, confess with our mouth that you are God and repent that we would be saved. Lord, I lift those people up right now, God, that are asking you to come and change them, Lord Jesus, to move upon them, to move into their life, the situation of their life. What hope we have in you, Jesus. What grace you've given us, Lord God, where you could have destroyed all of mankind. But for love, you saw us and sent your Son instead, that we might not have to know this life and its trouble alone, but we wouldn't know hell either. We would know you and the gift of life and life more abundantly. Father, I found that in you, Lord Jesus. I found the evidence of that in you. And I just thank you this morning, God. I lift up this church and every person in it, God, of the everyday struggle, Lord God. You came to bear the burden of that life, Lord, that we live, the trouble that we face every single day, Lord God. And Father, I just lift it up to you, God. We live in a fallen world where sickness runs rampant, where cancers, God, heart attacks, these things are running rampant, Lord God. We're delivered over to it. We're born into this cursed place, Lord God. But Father, you said that you would come here. You made yourself of no reputation and came, Lord, to live in these people. And Father, you said that we would see the miraculous because we were your people. And if we called on your name, you'd answer us, Lord. So we ask you today, for those prayer requests, Lord God, we lift them up to you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Enjoy the rest of our Sunday. Don't forget, if there's a few people that want to stay and help us move some of these decorations, we would appreciate it greatly. But if not, enjoy the rest of your day. God bless you. And we'll see you either Wednesday or next Sunday. Amen? Amen. Don't forget to invite somebody to our children's cantata play. Amen?